whole chapter, and man, it's good to have Brother Robert speaking this evening. We don't get to hear him as often as we used to. It's good to hear. Looking forward to hearing him this evening. Job 14. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath is be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. If you're able, we'd ask that you would kneel for prayer.
Greet each of you tonight in the name of Jesus. I feel like a song that we have at home, and it goes something like this. I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody that can save everybody. And that somebody did a big thing in my life. He forgave my sins. He made me whole. He made me new. He did what nobody else could do. Now, I'd like to tell everybody, but I don't do that. I fail to do that, to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus. But that's what I feel. And that song we sang, Tomorrow is in Your Hand, kind of goes along with the thought tonight of suffering. We're going to be speaking for a short while on suffering. And I suppose you knew that from looking at the book of Job, chapter 14. And I just want to read the beginning of Job. And I know it's familiar, but it's good if we hear it again. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now we know that Job suffered a lot. He went through a lot of things, lost his everything, actually, he lost. But in the end, he gained it back, and we'll find that out in the latter part of the last chapter. But he says in 21, and he said, naked came out of mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed. Can you imagine that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Satan's sly. He tries to ruin our souls. He tries to take away our health, as he did with Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." What's the reason for suffering? Well, we know what happened here with Job. Satan came and got his foot in the door, and he tried, but he didn't succeed, though, did he? He tried to tear down Job, to tear down his faith in the Lord, but it didn't work. Job, we read here about Job, that he was a man of great integrity. He was somebody that really feared the Lord. And I trust that that's the way with us tonight. But we're looking at chapter 14, and we want to just look at a few verses here, maybe take a couple verses by verse. Bible scholars believe that Job is probably one of the oldest books of the Bible. But when it's written, it's not important. But I think it contains a number of lessons for each one of us. In chapter 1, we read of Job. He was a God-fearing man. That's number 1. Number 2, I believe he had a godly family. If you would examine closely in verse 3, I believe he had a godly family. And number 3, he was a concerned father. And number 4, he stayed true to the Lord even in time of great loss. I wonder how many of us could have stood up to that. Chapter 14, we want to look at a few of them. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. How frail man is, how few his days without any trouble. We look at verses 1 and 2. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. When you think of verse 2, he's born of a woman, he has few days, he's full of, you know, few days. It doesn't take long to go through the journey of life. My wife and I are finding that out pretty fast here, that it's almost seems like yesterday that we were young, didn't have a pain or an ache, but we do today. Few days, full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. He's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. He blossoms for a moment like a flower. It makes me think of often my wife brings in, I like flowers. And she brings in flowers, puts them on the table. But it's not long until those beautiful flowers are turning down. Even with water, they just stay so long, beautiful, but then they go. A couple weeks, they're gone. It makes me think back when I was little. I thought this might be good for some of the children, if there's any here. I used to wander around different places, and I run across this garbage, this heap of trash heap. You know, back in the olden days, people used to put their garbage, or not their garbage, but their trash maybe in the woods, or they'd make a pile somewhere instead of having a man to come by and pick it up every once a week. But I remember one time when I was just a little fella, I saw this flashlight. I asked my dad time and time again for a flashlight. Probably little ones today wouldn't think that's a treasure, but a flashlight was a treasure to me. And there was a flashlight on this trash heap. Picked it up, took it home. My dad, he did buy some batteries for it. But that was a treasure to me. But that flashlight was plastic. And when you turn where the light, the bulb is, that didn't stay on anymore. That would come off. So how can I fix this thing? So you know what I did? I just took a piece of a cloth, and wrapped it around there so I could put that on to keep it to stay. We didn't have electric in our place at that time. And a flashlight for a young boy. That was wonderful to have a flashlight. But I just think about that. That just seems like yesterday. Not 70 some years ago. It seems like yesterday we held our children in our arms. It doesn't take long to run the days of our life. He cometh forth like a flower. He's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. I'm thinking about a shadow. This week, I guess it was this week, my wife said, the sun's shining so pretty. Next thing, there was no sun. There was a shadow, the cloud went over the sun and hid it. Hid the sun. A shadow. That's what our life's like. Like a shadow. Then we're going to go down to verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Our months are numbered, our bounds we cannot pass. When our time's up, it's up. We go to one of two places. Where's it going to be? For you. We're going to leave here. We're not here forever. I remember just makes me think now, our undertaker at Spring Grove, he said to my dad, he was 90, almost 94 when he passed away. He said, I thought Bill was going to be around forever. He just loved my dad. My dad was a big talker. He just loved him. But his days were up at 94. He didn't pass those bounds, and neither will we. Oh, you think, I have a lot of time. This almost sounds like a funeral sermon. Maybe it is. But I think we need that. We need to be reminded. If you go out in the cemetery, you're going to find maybe children a couple months old and people that are maybe 90s. Some of them, I don't know how many are down here, but there are a few around that even reach 100 or a little more. But yet, we're going to go. We're going to leave this life. We can't pass what our Lord has allotted us. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. down to verse 14. If a man die, will he live again? Now, Job asked this question, and we know the answer from the New Testament. We know that answer. I'm not sure if Job knew the answer or not, but I think he did. If we go over to chapter 19, and he says there in chapter 19, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy my this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job did know, if a man die, will he live again? Even though we're put in a grave, we'll rise again. You know, it made me think of Lazarus. You know, when Lazarus was in the grave, was it 3 or 4 days? I'm not sure which. But anyhow, Jesus called him, "Come forth, Lazarus." I wonder if he's going to do that for all of us. Something to think about. If a man die, will he live again? You know, he says in the last part of that verse, "Till my change come." We're going to be changed. And I'm glad for that. Even though we live again, we're also going to be changed. "Till my change come." Job knew this. He could tell this from chapter 19. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, the New Testament says. And we'll be changed to be like him. Changed that we can, we're going to have white robes. Going to be different. Going to be different from now. "Till my change come." Verse 17, "My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity." When I think of that, I think of Jesus. He takes our sins upon him. My side reverence says, covered over. Jesus is our covering for all our sins. He covers them all. It's hard for me to comprehend that, but I'm glad that he will take all my sins. My sin, well, Brother Fred, he likes this verse, and I do too. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Are you? You know, sometimes we still fall short, we fail. But when we ask, he will forgive us. And he has the power to do that. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but all of it, my Savior takes it on him. Job realized how great God is. Christian woman was always so bright and cheerful that everyone wondered at her joyous spirit. "But sister," said a friend, "you must have some clouds in your life." "Oh, yeah," she replied. "If there were no clouds, where would the showers of blessing come from?" That saint of God, like the poet of old, had learned to trace the rainbow through the rain. Many believers reach the place of unquestioning faith in Jesus and can sing Jesus Gilmore's hymn with assurance. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? If ever all the water was still, no waves, or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. In every cloud that darkens our horizon, we may discern the nail-pierced hand of the man of Calvary. Surely the one that died for us can be trusted to lead and protect us, even in the worst storms of life. If a man die, will he live again? Sure he will. We're not like some people think, we die like a dog. No. But we're going to rise again somewhere, some way. How do you take suffering? Why do we have to suffer? Well, I ran across a tract here. It says, "Why do the righteous suffer?" And I want to share that with you. I think there are a couple reasons that we do suffer. One reason is because of sin. I believe that's true. Sin is the ruling factor in the world. We know what happened in the garden. We can't, though, we can't blame Adam for our troubles, for the scriptures declare that we all have sinned, all of us. But sin, sometimes, can be the reason for suffering. Righteous sometimes suffer. Why? Because we stand up for the truth. We have some illustrations of that in the scriptures. And I just want to point out a few of those. Well, you know the one was Paul was given a thorn. But 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. For the which cause I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed." What things did Paul suffer? He suffered for standing up for the truth pretty often. And we could go do some more of those. First Peter chapter 4. "And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words." Don't think, these are my own words now, but it's the scripture here. "Don't think it strange of the fiery trials that come upon you." When we're Christians, we're not to think that it's strange. I want to look at a couple things about Job that we can learn from him. Job 13, 15, and 16. It says there, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will remain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. We can trust in God. Sometimes we wonder who we can trust, but we can trust in God. We can trust in Jesus. He offers better things. In Philippians 1, Paul says, to die is gain. In verse 23, he says, to depart and be with Christ, it's far better. Trust in Jesus. Did it pay Job to trust in Jesus? If we go back to the end, we're going to, before we close, it did pay for Job to keep his trust in Jesus. We often hear it said, he or she had the patience of Job. And I like to look at a little bit at patience. And Job did have patience. I think sometimes he got a little weary, if you read through the book of Job. But all in all, I see Job as one who trusted and who had patience in a living God. Do you need more patience? You know, I was... Well, before I get to that, I want to say this. Suffering sometimes brings out the best or the worst in us. Suffering can be a conditioner. It helps prepare us for heaven. Especially when you get older. I think you think more about heaven when you get older. When you're younger, you have so many things to do. But when you get older, you think about heaven. You're soon going to leave here. Not going to be here long. At least that's the way I am. Patience. The dictionary definition of patience. Listen to this one. Able to put up with pain, trouble, delay. That's one, isn't it? Delay. Are we patient in delay? I have to even say that to myself. My wife says, you're not too patient when you have to wait on traffic. And I guess I need to grow there. And I think that's why, and I'm not sure where I have that, but I have that in my notes somewhere, that men are told to have patience. I'm not sure where that is. But women aren't. Women aren't told to have patience. I guess they need it too. But I believe men have a little more of a problem with patience. What do you think? I guess I should take up for men because I am one, but sometimes I believe that we're impatient. James 5, 7 to 11. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Patience. And that scripture there talks about patient twice and patience another time. And we have in this chapter a lesson that for farmers. And I often think, being a farmer at one time, I often think about that. Who knows what's going to become or what's going to happen to the crops? Hail, strong winds, bugs, no rain. A few of the things, but a farmer waits in hope. Christians wait in hope. We don't know what is tomorrow. Yeah, we make plans, but we don't know for sure what's tomorrow. He plants, the farmer waits in hope. He plants expensive seed. He uses expensive fertilizer. He waits a long time. And I ask us tonight, do I have patience for 1 hour? Or do I have patience day by day? Titus chapter 2, I think that's the scripture I wanted to a while ago. We are men are exhorted to have patience. And I believe that men have more struggle with patience. But I think we all have to grow in patience. Second Corinthians 6:4 talks about having much patience. I think Job had much patience. Romans 5:3 says, tribulation worketh patience. Not tribulation, Lord. We need some hard, rough places to produce patience. Job showed a lot of patience. Jesus displayed a lot of patience with Peter. You remember what he did with Peter? With the woman that was taken in adultery? Or at Jesus' trial? How about us? You know, Jesus has been pretty patient with me. I think that if we would turn, well, maybe we ought to do that right away. Turn to the end of Job chapter 40. It's actually back in 38 already. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. But in 42, verse 8. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Now, he's talking to these so-called comforters that Job was supposed to have. And offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job, who, and Job shall pray for you. To him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. I think about those three friends coming back to Job. This is in my imagination, I guess. But they came back, they were coming back to Job. Can you imagine this? Accusing that it was our fault. You know, they said that it was Job's fault. And I could give you scripture after scripture where they said they kind of blamed Job, but it wasn't so. Job kind of defended himself different times through the book. But we can imagine that those accusers came back later. Job, we're sorry. We were wrong. Please forgive us. Imagine Job replying, "You are forgiven." We all have been wrong sometimes. Let's forget this and put it in the past and ask God to help us and bless us. Job was blessed with many things. We don't want to leave this lesson with a negative thought. But Job was blessed with just as much as he had before. The Lord blessed him abundantly. And we can read that. And if we look at the last chapters of Job, Job even had to close his mouth. He was, I guess he thought he talked too big to God. But anyhow, he did repent afterwards. And then he says in chapter 42, verse 1, Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." He knows our thoughts. He knows what you're thinking now. If you're wishing I'd stop and go out the door, he knows that. "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." He blessed Job. But you know what? Job died. Job lived a long time after this. But it says at the very last verse of Job chapter 42, "So Job died, being old and full of days." I said at the beginning, we're going to pass on too, and we will. We're going to go through that valley one by one. We're going to have this life's final chapter. Materially, we never had it so good in America, did we? Our comforts and our conveniences are far beyond what they were 60 or 70 years ago. Brother Charles Hostetter points out that we are putting our possessions in a bag with holes. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth." God isn't concerned so much about our temporal things as he is our spiritual. I think he expects us to take care of these things. I'm not saying that at all, but I believe he's more concerned about our spiritual being. Jesus, in describing the reckoning day, says, "Those who serve Satan will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The Bible tells us that for Christians, Life is not something to be dreaded. I mean, death isn't. It's an entrance into a glorious life. Someone described it this way. Death is not a goal, but it's a gate. It's not a tragedy, but it's a triumph. It's not a punishment, but it's a promotion. It's not a going away, but it's coming home. If a man dies, if a person dies, will he live again? Yeah, he will. And now, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Your Redeemer liveth. And he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And so after skinworms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Today's heroes are often overrated. Many sports personalities, entertainers, movie stars receive acclaim that is out of proportion to the value of their achievements. On the other hand, many Christians have done work of eternal significance through prayer and faithful service for the Lord, yet have spent their entire lives in obscurity. To keep from losing perspective, we must always bear in mind that this life is but a preparation for glory. This well-known story illustrates this point. When Theodore Roosevelt was president, he went on a hunting safari to Africa. On his return to the United States, a missionary who was retiring after 40 years of service in a remote jungle village was traveling on that same ship. When the ship docked, cheering throngs greeted the chief executive, the president, but not a single person was there to welcome the returning missionary. Momentarily, the man of God was filled with self-pity, but quickly he remembered. My son, you're not home yet. The president was coming back home. But he says to the missionary, you're not home yet. Do you feel sometimes like a little like that faithful missionary? Then look again at the blessed reality expressed in this story. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. We're not home yet.
Stand with me for closing prayer.